Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Remember, if you miss any of the segments that we do here on Monday Night Talk, we do our best to make sure we put them up over the next couple of days before the next show.
You always do such a good job with that, Kevin.
Thanks, Joe. I'm still waiting for my first paycheck from you promised me a couple of bucks for doing it.
I never said that.
I know.
Although, just like the McWiggins thing, you'll probably make it sound like I did.
It's okay.
Well, he does enough brown nosing to make up for it.
He does, too, doesn't he? He does. Well, the idea is that the podcast, so folks don't listen. And we've gotten tremendous success in folks listening to it a second or a third or a fourth time. And that's the idea. Is if you missed any part of it, you can go back and you can listen to it. You just go to the website. Or it's available in iTunes. You just go for... You put in Monday Night Talk. It's that easy. The two folks that we have, two gentlemen that we have here before us, is they are running for counselor at large come November 3rd. One of them is a former school committee and mayor.
Yes.
And one of them is you are a candidate for
counselor at large. Yes.
Craig Pina and Wynn Falwell. Welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
I actually got to thank Wynn, because Wynn was kind of, I called him up this afternoon and said, hey, would you mind coming? He's like, yeah, no problem. It was like that. We were supposed to have Gary Keith come in studio. Gary, unfortunately, could not make it. So we have...
With your personality, Kevin, how could I say no?
Oh.
What, do I have two people brown-nosing on both sides?
Don't hate. It's never too late to start. First and foremost, gentlemen, talk to me about running for at large. You were able to come through last Tuesday, be one of the eight to be running for the four seats that are available on at large. And it's going to be quite the different looking city council come January, is it not?
It is. You'll have new councilors because some chose not to run for re-election. You know, it's kind of a fascinating process if you think about it. You anyone can run if you go out and gather the required signatures, and then your name goes on the ballot, and you have a preliminary election. And here we had 13 people, which made it interesting logistically when we had our debate at Cable. And you get your message out, and then you hope that the voters respond to your message. And if they do, you get to go on in the into the final election. And I just think we're very privileged in this country to have that kind of a process.
What do you think, Craig? Craig, you're no stranger to this. You're somebody who's politically active. I mean, what's it like? Again, you're going to be on the November ballot, and this is hopefully an opportunity for you to be on the city council. I mean, what are you hoping is going to be different this time?
Well, as you know, I ran in 2013. I finished 450 votes behind the number four vote getter, a little more than 450 behind the number four vote getter. So I came into this with a sense of purpose and determination. I knew the process because last time there were 15 candidates running, and I kind of knew what to expect, and I knew what I had to improve upon. And we're just moving forward. After the preliminary, you see the results, then you adjust your game plan.
What are you guys hearing out there? I mean, what are you hearing from the residents? Do they understand what it is that the city council does? And what are they clamoring if they give you their vote? What are they hoping that you will do as a representative of the city council?
Well, I think it's clearly it's crime. I mean, I heard someone say to me today that they're heartbroken at what has happened to the city with, in the middle of the day, having three people shooting at another person. And it's really gotten to the point where people are considering leaving the city. I'm concerned that businesses and people won't move into the city, and they'll miss an opportunity, really, to live in a great community.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of the same thing. It's a big problem where you have people that have been here for generations. Considering, sure. I mean, I hear a lot. I gave up. I've given up, and I try to convince them, don't give up. We're working on things. Things are improving. What we're seeing right now is we're seeing the police operate more efficiently than they ever have. They've created more relationships with other agencies and other municipalities than ever before, and things are moving in the right direction. But it's a statewide epidemic. It's not just Brockton, and we're fighting it as best we can in Brockton.
You're somebody who's you know the police department, you know city government. I mean, how have things changed and how have things not changed?
Well, I think they've changed in the sense that the demand for services from the police department has increased, but it's increased at a rate that is clearly outpacing putting new positions onto the department, and you can't continue to do that. There just has to be a concerted effort, a master plan, as I mentioned in another forum where you were one of the co-hosts, a master plan over the next 2, 3, 4 years to identify positions in the police department of people who will be retiring. They'll retire at the higher wage level. You will bring in officers at the lower wage level. So you'll be able to hopefully add more positions than are retiring. Mm. But I will also tell you that when you get into a situation like this, it's like the family budget. When finances are constrained, you have to set priorities. And I'm not the mayor. I enjoyed every day of being mayor, but I think the current mayor really has got to say to his department heads, just because someone retires, don't automatically fill that position. Take a look at whether you really need to fill that position. Can you combine some duties? Can you meet with the unions and say, look, these two individuals will take over that person's responsibilities. Granted, you may have to give them a little bump in salary, but my worry is that in government, there's an automatic filling of any vacancy because, well, the appropriation is there, so why not fill it? And you can't do that. You've got to stop that, and then the excess revenues that you have, you've got to carve out and put towards public safety because it's just that critical. Or we're going to lose residents. There's no doubt about it.
Do you agree?
Well, I think right now we're in a situation where the city departments are pretty much at subsistence levels. We don't have an overabundance of manpower.
That's what I've heard the past couple of years.
Yeah, there is no excessive spending. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the agenda for tonight's city council meeting.
82 agenda items.
But the most concerning is some of these items.
A lot of fun right there.
Some of these items are partially certified for only FY 2016 only. A lot of that is because of the fact that if anyone would bother to read the CFO's statement every year, he says that the city council's failed to tax to the levy limit. So now we're looking at a Proposition 2.5 override.
Now hold on a second. City council or whoever the sitting mayor was?
Whoever the sitting mayor.
Because it's the city. Yeah, exactly. It's the mayors themselves who can do that.
So the situation we're in right now is we're behind the eight ball. We've been held hostage by these groups that have refused business to come into the city, have refused economic expansion in the city. Our property values have stayed fairly level. They haven't increased like they have in the towns around us. So our revenue levels are pretty stagnant or declining. So what we need to do is we need to bring in more business because what we're going to look at, you talk with people from other towns. In their town meetings, it's not whether they're going to tax the levy limit or have an override. They are going to have an override. Mm.
Every town is every town is different.
Yeah,
and not every town will tax to the levy limit. But it's I think in Brockton, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. I've seen mayors who have taxed the levy limit, and people get mad because you're raising my taxes, and then. We've seen the current mayor who has not, because he says, I'm not going to raise taxes, and people shake their fist at him because he's got that much less to work with in the budget, which means he has to make cuts somewhere. You can't have it both ways.
Because as a taxpayer and as a candidate, I hate, and as a Republican, I hate...
It's a bad word.
I hate tax increases. Okay. I hate them. but the thing is, people have to remember, there's a tax rate and a tax bill. Right. Our tax rate is high, but our tax bills are low. All that's saying is our property values are low. So once we get our property values to increase, we'll stop the taxing. We can stop the tax increases. But we still have to maintain business a subsistence level of business. We still have to maintain a subsistence level of manpower. We have to increase our police force. We have equipment and buildings we need to repair and replace. These are important things that we can't operate as a city without.
Did you want to respond to that?
I just am going to keep my focus on public safety and halting the increase in crime because I think everything else you do after that is not going to be successful unless you get a grip on that. It's almost like building a house and the foundation is crumbling. The house
is not there, right?
The house isn't going to stand. And I still think that every municipality, whether it's Brockton or whether it's Marshfield or whether it's Hanover, you have to step back and you have to take a look at all of your different departments and where can you streamline. Is there software that will help people do their job a little better? Are there positions that can be combined? Are there revenues that can be saved because you found out a way to work smarter
Being
and more
creative,
efficiently?
Right.
Yes, and that's what the private sector does. I mean, they don't automatically fill a position when it's vacant. I'm sure this radio station doesn't automatically fill a position when it's vacant.
I don't know. I'll be filling Kevin's spot when he goes automatically.
You'll need to put six hats on your head then.
So that's my point. You know, you've got to be more creative, efficient, effective, and manage the revenues you have. And if you do that, I think you'll inspire the confidence of the people in the city, and they will sit up and take notice when the city council takes an action, takes a vote, or suggests something. And I think that's how you earn credibility.
Okay, we're speaking with Wynn Farwell and Craig Pina. They are candidates for councilor at large in the city of Brockton. Joe, you had a question?
Well, you know, one of the things I was going to talk about, and I know it's already been discussed, is, you know, how crime will affect all the other pieces that come together. You know, all the candidates have talked about, you know, economic development and bringing the casino in, but, you know, it really, I think, comes out of needing to control the crime before any of that can really flourish in the city. So I guess, you know, my other question would be is, you know, what can be done about, or what is going to end up happening, or what would you do, I should say, with what's going on with the casino right now in Brockton?
I just want to intercept here real quick.
Sure.
Because one doesn't know if it's going to come because now with the Taunton Casino with land and trust being given to the Wampanoag tribe. That's a big question, and I don't even know if the Mass Gaming Commission is even going to want to answer that.
That could still be held up in court for decades. Yeah. So there really is, that's out of our hand, out of
even though Brockton is shovel ready.
Yeah, and there's nothing that can be done about that by the City Council. That's in the Gaming Commission's hands.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, interrupt me in the middle of my question because I was going
I want to make sure that you had the proper information before you asked.
Thank you, because that's what I was going to say next. Is that I know that there is now a talk about canceling the Southeast license if a casino was to go down into Taunton. That's one of the discussions happening. However, I guess that translates into, so if the casino was to come there, you know, or I should say if it doesn't go there, what can be done about land that's going to be developed on one way or the other?
It's private property. We can help direct Mr. Carney, but I mean, we can't force him to do what he doesn't want to do. What I've done instead is I've reached out to a friend of mine. He's a real estate developer and advisor. He's Harvard educated. He lives in Brockton, and he's interested in starting a community development corporation for the downtown area. And he's talking about getting his contacts to invest millions of dollars in the downtown area. We're talking about a guy who's done projects in Chicago, L.A., and he's currently been working in Fitchburg and Lynn, on successful projects that have revamped downtown areas, especially in Lynn and Fitchburg and gateway cities in Massachusetts. We're working on getting a community development corporation started in Brockton right now. I've introduced them to Rob May, the city planner, and a few other economic development people in the city of Brockton. We're working on that right now.
And I think economic development is always important. But you know what? We as city officials or candidates running to occupy a city council seat, we need to make sure that if we bring business in, if we bring the workers that come in with that business, we've got to provide them with a safe environment. I mean, that's just...
Couldn't agree more.
Morally, ethically, politically, and legally, I think that's our responsibility. So, you know, let's not lose our focus on working with the police, having the police develop a better relationship with the public, which we can always do. Get to know the different neighborhoods, get to know people, key people in the neighborhoods, get the information we need to really go after and combat this crime, take a look at how we can generate more revenues for more police, because really everything, gentlemen, pales in comparison to that.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, but I agree the police need more ability to increase community policing. We need to be a little more proactive in our policing than reactive. But it goes hand in hand. Economic development and fighting crime goes hand in hand. we won't have the revenue to pay for the police and the programs if we don't have the economic development. We need to have both of them happening at the same time. They one can't happen without the other.
Okay, it's good. They're definitely good. You're both. How about we just only got a couple of minutes left here. How about as far as your relationship, if you're both elected? And there's a good chance that both of you could get elected.
I hate this guy.
It's interesting you bring that up, because when we had that first forum and the 13 of us were there, waiting in the lobby.
Well, technically it ended up being 12, but okay.
It ended up being 12, but we're not really running against each other. I mean, I can honestly say that every person that ran in the preliminary and now who has gone on to the final ballot, they all love Brockton. They want to do their best. Mm. It really comes down to what the person's qualifications and background may be. His is different than mine. If the voters select his background, he'll be successful.
You both bring something tangible to the table.
Yeah, if they select me and they like the fact that it's a former mayor with municipal government and finance experience and public safety, then I'll get votes. But I can honestly say, as a group, we got along great, and I have nothing.
Yeah, there were no fist fights in the parking lot.
Nothing negative say about anyone.
Not that anyone found out about.
Well, I think what I'm getting at is we know that the past 2 years, that it hasn't been the best. It, as of late, it's been better. But we saw the first year between the current mayor and the city council that it wasn't that fluid of a relationship. It slowly has become a better relationship as of late. But how important is it that whoever's mayor, whether Mayor Carpenter is reelected or Chris McMillan is elected, and you guys are on there, that you guys have a good working relationship.
I have a good relationship with both individuals who are running for mayor. I even tell people, you know, I've known Bob Sullivan since 7th grade at West Junior High. We're good friends. Do we agree on 80%? 50%? We don't even agree on 50% of it, but we're still friends.
It might be that Democrat Republican thing, but
I don't know. But we
it sounds trite, but it's a team effort. You can't lose sight of that.
Excellent. Well, we just got like a couple of moments left. Anything that we haven't touched upon, you gentlemen want to at least take a chance to take a moment to address, or at least say to the folks who might be listening in Brockton?
I just want to thank everyone for their support in the preliminary, and I'm going to be out there working my tail off till November 3rd, and I'm hoping to get as many people support as I possibly can, and I'm asking for your vote and your support on November 3rd.
And I've been blessed to be a school committee member for 10 years, mayor for 4 years, police officer for over 20 years. Yep. There's really nothing more I could ask from the citizens of Brockton, but I am going to ask them this time. I humbly ask for your vote on November 3rd. I'd like to serve on the council and use the experience and education that I have to try to make a difference.
Do you, either of you have a website or something for folks to be able to get in touch with?
Yep, I do. www.pinaforbrockton.com. That's Pina, Forbrockton.com.
And we just have a Facebook page at this point.
Well, I wish you both the best of luck. I appreciate you coming all the way here to good old Marsh Vegas and hanging out. Joe, anything you want to say before we wrap up this particular segment?
I think it's great to have us and them engaged, you know, in the political process, and have a WATD there to one of the few places where we can follow local politics.
And we're hoping, again, we got to talk with the newsroom, but hopefully maybe we could try to get, we did 2 years ago, I think you were part of that, where we had kind of two waves. We had four sets of at-large candidates. We did a forum, and then we had the second set and did a blow. We'll see what we can do.
We drew names out of a hat to see who would be with who.
You've got some interesting things coming up. For example, the Ward 6 race, where you've got really a dynamic young man running against
Mr. Lally, against Stephen Foote.
Yeah. Against a person who's been immersed in politics. So I don't think you two will be looking for too much
we won't be bored.
Filling space.
we won't be bored by any means, but definitely want to thank Gwen Falwell and Craig Pina for being our guests. We're going to step aside just for a moment, and when we come back, a gentleman that we had on a couple of months ago talking about his trip to the Supreme Judicial Court, we're going to find out how he did. Mr. Adam Bond, next here on Monday Night Talk, to go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.